I'm going to make you do a little bit of work before we get into the lesson tonight, a little bit of mental work. I want you to go back into your life. Go back the time you were in grade school, junior high, high school, when you got out of high school, went into college, if you went to college, you got out of college, maybe you got married. Think through all of that time span. And was there ever a time that you were in a relationship with somebody else and that person dumped you for somebody else and you knew that that person that they dumped you for was not as good as you are? That's something that's universal. Maybe in high school, later, maybe a husband and wife. And how do you feel in that situation? You feel sick. You feel betrayed. You feel angry when you think about that. And that's the story we're going to look at tonight with Hosea. Hosea illustrates how God feels when we dump Him and go for somebody else that is not as good as He is. When we sin and turn our hearts to the devil. So we're going to look at Hosea, the broken-hearted prophet. And as we can see from this, I think it'll help us to understand in our lives how we need to be true to God and how He feels when we are not true to Him. So when I started this series on the minor prophets, and I did Obadiah first, the shortest chapter in the Old Testament, and it was hard to get everything from one chapter into the 30 minutes. Well, Hosea is 14 chapters, and I'm going to try to just skim over the top and get some lessons for us to learn from this book. So let's begin in Hosea chapter 1. Verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry, and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, "Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen." Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, "Call his name Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there it shall be said to them, 'You are the sons of the living God.' Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for the great will be the day of Jezreel." We'll stop there for a reading. So a couple of things just as we start getting in to this book. Chapters 1 through 3 are going to deal with Hosea and his wife Gomer. The rest of the book, 4 through 11, there's going to be the application made with Israel. Hosea, something else to keep in mind with Hosea, Hosea sets the foundation for all the other prophets, for understanding the other prophets. Because what is the message of the prophets? The message is repent and turn back to God. Keep your covenant. Do not break that covenant. And when we can understand that, it will help us. And when we can understand how sick it makes God when we dump Him for something not as good as He is, something horrible, hopefully it will help us to live a more holy life. It's interesting too, people have different ideas or viewpoints on Hosea going out and marrying a harlot. I believe that as God is speaking to him, he talks about what is going to happen with his wife. And you notice in verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. My belief is she was not a harlot when they married, because when she conceived with that first child, it says she bore him a son. And the following children that came from that union were from her association with other men. And it's interesting too, the names that are given to these children. The names all mean something. In verse 5, Jezreel, God scatters, God sows. It means judgment on evildoers. The next child in verse 6, not pitied or unloved. The name implied extreme desolation of condition, a relationship corrupted by rebellion. And the last child that's mentioned, lo am I, it means not my people, no kin of mine. God would no longer claim them as his own. And that's the inevitable result of the rejection of God. He's not going to claim us. So again, the theme of Hosea, it's an illustration of God's love for his disobedient people. You think about some of the great love stories in the Bible. And if you ask somebody, what's the greatest love story? A lot of people would probably say Ruth. And that is a great love story. But when you read Hosea and you consider this, this is equal to or greater than the love story of Ruth. Because it's one of the greatest love stories there is. The prophet, through the heartbreak of his own marriage, came to see Israel sin against God in its deepest and most awful significance. And Hosea, he loved his wife. He loved Gomer with a pure, deep, tender, sensitive love. And you see, for this parallel to hold true, we know that he loved her that way. And that's how God loved us. That's how he loved her. But she was unfaithful to him and then caused him great sorrow. Yet Hosea had compassion on her and he bought her back when she was a slave. And we see the redeeming, the chastening, and the restoring that takes place in chapter 3 and verse 3. And I said to her, you shall not stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. Verse 2. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 omers of barley. And I said to her, you shall not stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot. So when she was degraded to the point of being sold into slavery, he still loved her so much that he bought her back. And Hosea, through his own experience, he is learning the true meaning of Israel's sin, of spiritual adultery. He saw sin in its ugliest moments. He came to understand that sin not merely breaks God's laws, it also breaks God's heart. Human sin hurts God. Again, you just think back to when somebody rejected you. How did you feel? It's an awful feeling. So again, as we've seen with some of the other prophets, God uses another object lesson. He tells Hosea to marry a harlot. And we see throughout the Bible, and as we've been studying in the book of Matthew, the people of God must make a choice. They either live in harlotry or they love Jehovah. It's one or the other. You can't be in between. There's no middle ground. There's no middle choice. This goes back to Deuteronomy. And so much of the prophets, when you study them, you'll see it goes back to the book of Deuteronomy and the teaching that takes place. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." God wants us to love Him with all our heart. God loves us, I don't know if we can say with all of His heart. I don't know how we would put that into our terminology. But God, He loves us immensely. He loves us so much that He sent His own Son to come and die for the sins that we committed. And it's not unreasonable at all for Him to tell us to love Him with all of our heart, our soul, and our might. So what was the personal family conditions that Hosea faced? Well, his union, his marriage, was ruined by his wife's unfaithfulness. And it's just as a side note, it's interesting too, when you look back at chapter 1, verse 1, all of these kings, it says when the word of the Lord came to Hosea in the days of, and then it mentions all of these kings. A lot of the commentators say that this would cover about a period of 80 years. So the word of the Lord came to him when he was a young man. Possibly he lived to be 100, we don't know. But it covered a long period of time. And we don't know how the story of his marriage ends because that's not as important as picking up with the application to Israel or to us. But we know that his family was ruined by the unfaithfulness of his wife. In the King James Version, whoredom is used 18 times, and the word loving kindness is used 37 times. So Hosea's marriage to Gomer was a type of God's relationship with His people, Israel. Again, when she went off, God instructed Hosea to buy her back. Gomer had to be purified for a time before she could be Hosea's wife. And so again, just to get in our minds, Gomer was a type of Israel who was unfaithful. Hosea was a type of God who loved His bride even in her unfaithfulness. In Israel, this is one of the worst times in Israel's history. Israel had committed spiritual adultery by worshiping idols. Israel was going to be removed as a nation by the Assyrian captivity. And Hosea possibly witnessed that. And then we know too from the prophets that there's going to be a righteous remnant return following the Babylonian captivity. And that's what we just finished studying in Ezra and Nehemiah. And you just see the evidence of God in these prophecies of things that come to pass. And again, not just the letter of the law, but you see the heart of God where He is torn. He is broken when Israel dumps him, leaves him for these idols. Hosea's name means salvation, help, or deliverance. It comes from the same Hebrew word from which Joshua comes. In the New Testament, we know the Joshua equivalent is Jesus, meaning Savior. And there's a play on the name in chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no other God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. So some of the religious conditions that Hosea faced, again, the people had forsaken God so much. Worship had become formal. There were no real demands made on the people. And that's a danger that we face today too. People were living with no morals when they went to worship God. In their religious practices, they kept the name of God, but they took over the ritual practices of Baal, and they were led away so many times by these idols. Even in Israel itself, you know, calf worship went along with Baal. The worship was mixed, idol worship with true worship. Drunkenness and fornication was part of the worship. The courts were corrupt. The priests were violent, greedy, uncaring. They were breaking covenants. You wonder, it had to be a variety of things. Some people, it was probably just rebellion. But we know that some of the people were ignorant of God's law. They didn't know God's law, and they should have, and we see the danger from that. One of the passages in Hosea, if you don't have this marked in your Bible, mark Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And again, friends, when we forget God's law, when we lack knowledge, we will be destroyed also. Well, what are some lessons from the book of Hosea? I'm just going to read through these. We aren't going to have time to get into them. Another passage to mark in your Bibles in Hosea is chapter 14 and verse 9. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. So if we want to be wise, if we want to be prudent, we need to read and know and understand these warnings, these things that he has in the book. But one of the lessons, it's vital that God's people have knowledge of him and his word. That's just what we read. It's imperative. It's vital. Another lesson, marriage is a relationship that is to be honored and kept pure. And I am planning, I don't know just when, but I want to do another lesson from Hosea on the marriage relationship and how God looks at it as his covenant, because we're going to see in here when Israel goes away from God, he is going to try to entice her back, to allure her to come back to his love. And that is part of what's involved in the marriage relationship. So I want us to look at that at a later time. Another lesson, we see that sin destroys one's ability to think and act morally. And again, when we see somebody way over here, they didn't think they were going to be way over here. They just took the first step back here in sin, then another step and another step and another step and another step. And then it destroys our ability to think and act right. Number four, poor leadership can destroy a people. They had the problem with the priest. We need, again, to know God's word. Number five, unfaithfulness is the starting point for all other sinful behavior. Again, you become unfaithful, You don't think you're going to end up over here, but it all starts with not being faithful to God. What's it going to hurt to miss one service? I've got this going on, I've got that going on. People think that way. And something else to consider with unfaithfulness, everybody is only one sin away from being unfaithful. Because that one sin, you do that one sin, whatever it is, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, you do that, it's easier to do the next one, and the next one, and the next one. God's love for mankind is great. That's a story that a lesson we get from the book of Hosea. His love is great, but we also learn that it can be refused. God is not going to force His love on us. We have to accept it. Internal corruption is more dangerous than external enemies. So Israel always had enemies. Was it the enemies that finally conquered Israel? It was they physically brought it about, but it was Israel's internal weakness, internal destruction, worshiping the idols, being spiritual adulterers that brought about their collapse. And throughout Hosea and the other prophets, we've got to remember the covenant relationship that Jehovah had with Israel. And again, that parallels the marriage covenant that a man and his wife has, that Hosea and Gomer had. This covenant relationship, the intimacy of this relationship is described in Hosea in two different figures. The one figure is with marriage in chapters 1 through 3, and then the other figure is that of a father and son relationship. If you look in Hosea chapter 11, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So we have two relationships that demonstrates God's love, the marriage relationship and the father-son relationship. Again, some of the key words. Another key word that occurs in the Bible, return, in Hosea, return is a key word, and it's used 15 times, loving kindness 37 times. So with this book of prophecy, we get to see a greater picture and understanding of God. God is great and unceasing love. And we see the picture of the true nature of sin in this also. And sin, you can describe it in different ways, but when you think of it in this relationship, sin is unfaithfulness to God, it's infidelity, and it's whoredom. It's whoredom. We don't like to use that word, but that's how it's described in the Bible. When we sin, we go out and we play the harlot. We are unfaithful to God, and we associate ourselves with someone else. Sin ages one, and it destroys our youthful spirit. The decay is gradual, imperceptible, but dangerous and fatal. Chapter 5, 12, and 7, 9. Sin is deadly. Sin is contagious. And when sin is permitted to permeate among a group, it will grow and spread and end up destroying everyone. Sin robs people of the power to make moral obligations. It has that effect on us. It's like if we stare at something bright too long, it can blind our eyes. If we stare at sin, if we engage in sin too long, it's going to destroy our spiritual eye. Hosea, one of the interesting things about Hosea too, it's like a summary of the whole Bible. In Hosea, we see sin. It's the willful disobedience of man to the Word of God and the will of God. We see judgment. We see paradise lost, the sowing and reaping. And we see love, the love of God and the victory that He offers. Israel, as I said, had a lot of sins. They would lie, have falsehoods. They were licentious. They would murder. They would rob. They oppressed others. All of these are throughout the book of Hosea. And Hosea, God through Hosea, uses some interesting terms to describe the sinner in Hosea. And when we sin, these terms can be applied to us. The sinner is referred to as an adulterous wife in chapter 3:3, a drunkard in chapter 4:11, a stubborn heifer in 4:16, a band of robbers in 6:9, a hot oven in 7:6, a cake not turned. And you stop and you think, that's an interesting. You're cooking something we can think about. I like to grill stuff in a skillet on the stove. Sometimes if I leave it on there too long and I go away, what happens? It burns on one side. It's not done on the other. And what is that good for? It's good for nothing. Sometimes we say somebody's half-baked. This is a cake not turned. He describes the sinners like a silly dove, like a deceitful bow. What would a deceitful bow be? You have your bow and arrow, and you pull it back, and you think it's going to shoot straight. Instead of shooting straight, it goes like this. It's deceitful. A swallowed up nation, a vessel in which no one delights, a wild donkey. There's some descriptive language of the sinner here you aren't going to find other places. A trained heifer that does not thresh. You have a cow that you're going to take out and work to thresh the grain, and she's trained to do that. She doesn't do it. That's what the sinner is like. We are trained, we are instructed to praise and worship God, to obey God, and we don't do it. We're like a trained heifer that does not thresh. We're like a morning cloud, like the dew which soon disappears, chaff which is blown away, smoke from a chimney. These are some of the terms, God's figures for the sinner in Hosea. Well, and again, keep in mind, this is going back. Hosea lived this. He lived this with his wife, Gomer. And then God, through Hosea, is making application to the nation of Israel. Well, there must have been something in Gomer that she lacked to have the right relationship with Hosea. And there must have been something that Israel lacked to have the right relationship with God. And a few of those things that Israel lacked from the book of Hosea, as we already mentioned, they lacked knowledge. They lacked knowledge. And these things that Israel lacked, we need to make sure that we do not lack them, so God does not turn His face from us. They lacked knowledge. They lacked, there was a lack of trust in God. And as we're going through the Psalms, how many times do we read over and over on Wednesday night, "I will trust in Thee. I put my trust in Thee." We must put our trust in God. There is a lack of leadership. Why do you end up with bad leadership? People settle for it. They settle for it. It's usually not because somebody comes in and takes over, but a job needs to be done. Do you want to do this? I don't want to do it. Do you want to do it? I don't. Do you? No. We'll let this person do it. And they settle for whoever's willing to do something. And these priests, they settled, and they should have kicked the priest out and said, "No, you got to go back to the law and do what's right." But they were content to settle with these priests, and they ended up being taken off into captivity. Another thing they lacked was a lack of love for God. It's so many lessons in this book. Well, what was the answer? What was the answer? God's call for a return to Him. Even, stop and think, even as unfaithful as Gomer was, Hosea wanted his wife back because he loved her deeply. He cared about her. And even though as unfaithful as Israel was, even though as unfaithful as we are, God calls for a return. Again, let's look in chapter 11 and verse 1. This is God's choice. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Then look at our choice in chapter 11 and verse 2. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to Baals and burned incense to carved images. So there's a choice. They made the wrong choice. When God called them, they went after the Baals. In verse 3, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know I healed them. So we see God's choice, our choice, our choice. We fail God. What do we need then? We need the grace of God. We need His mercy. In chapter 11 and verse 4, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Again, we don't use language like this much today, but it's a very beautiful picture of the love of God, who with this animal uses gentle cords, bands of love, and takes the yoke from their neck and stoops down and feeds them. That's what God does to us. Friend, have you ever been dropped by someone for someone else that you know wasn't as good as you are? How did you feel? You feel betrayed. You felt angry. You felt sick to your stomach. And that is how God feels. That's the lesson that Hosea teaches us. The heartbroken prophet, that's the way that God feels when we are unfaithful to Him and we go to the devil. That's how God feels every time we sin. Friend, if that's where you are, you need to turn to God and remain true to Him. You need to do it before it's too late. You need to not be lacking some of the things. You know, life is just so predictable. We can read in God's Word, you do this, this, and this. This is what's going to happen. It was true for them. It's true for us today. God chose us. If we make the wrong choice and go into the world, we've got to repent, beg for His mercy, be obedient to His Word. And God, like a loving father, like a loving husband, will welcome us back when we are obedient to Him. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to make correction in your life, we invite you to come forward. Come forward now as we stand and sing.